The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to Tuesday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill Radio. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with Sean Quinn to look forward to Tuesday's racing action. Big day for the Quinn stable with six runners in total on Tuesday, and we'll get stuck into those runners in a few moments' time. But as ever with Tuesday's Racing Podcast, we will reflect on some of the weekend action first, looking at the questions posed to five people in the Monday jury in Monday's Racing Post, and we'll do that now in the company of Sean. Sean, first of all, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, DK. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I'm in fine form.
Good man.
I enjoyed the racing at the weekend. We had some real top quality action with Gordon Lord Byron winning the Betfred Sprint Cup, and the Fugue, the filly, beating the Colts in the Champion Stakes. Some top class performances.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend of racing, wasn't it, on both sides of the Irish Sea. As you say, the Fugue was very good over in Leopardstown, and an Irish Raider got the prize landed at Haydock. Gordon Lord Byron deservedly bagging a second Group 1 win.
Let's spin through the questions in the Monday jury then, Sean. Starting with the top question, and it is, could the Fugue, Alcazim or Trading Leather make a splash in the arc?
The Fugue could if the ground came up quick, but how likely are we to get quick ground come the arc?
It doesn't usually happen.
I think the only time in recent years when we've had good ground even was to see the stars this year. She needs good ground or quicker ground even, so I'd say it'll be unlikely that she could win an arc. Alcazim, if the ground came up very soft, would come into the reckoning, because I do think he wants plenty of juice in the ground. That's what Connections keep saying. And he's better right-handed. Whether he's got quite enough class to win an arc, I don't know. But you could see him running a big race in one, and I don't think Trading Leather is good enough to win an arc, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. What did you make of the new Derby favourite, Australia's defeat of Free Eagle at the weekend, which came as a big surprise?
It did, because Free Eagle was an odds-on favourite, and Pat Smullen did not hide his delight at Free Eagle after he won first time up. He said rarely had he been so excited after riding a maiden winner. And this is a jockey of Pat Smullen's calibre. He's ridden plenty of Group 1 horses down the years, plenty of champions for Dermot Weld. He's been at the top of the tree in Ireland for many years. So this is an experienced pro and one of the best in the business. And for him to be raving about Free Eagle like he did, made punters sit back and think, hey, maybe this horse is something special. Then for Australia to blow him out of the water, beat him six lengths, DK, no less, makes him look quite a remarkable prospect. Obviously, he's bred to be a champion by Galileo out of Ouija Board, but he's actually the first of Ouija Board's progeny who have looked top class. I think he's maybe he'd be the fourth foal now out of Ouija Board, and he's undoubtedly the best, and He's a deserved Derby favourite on what we saw at the weekend.
6-1 he is. Kingman 12-1. Free Eagle 14-1 for the Derby. Just to follow up on that point, do you think Free Eagle gave his running in that race?
It's probable that he wasn't as good as he might have been on the gallops prior to it, or certainly in his maiden first time up. I think that's fair, and as Dermot Weld touched on, he's actually quite a late-born foal, so there is still plenty of improvement to come in him as he strengthens and develops. But on what we saw on Saturday, he's going to find it very difficult to reverse the form with Australia imminently, isn't he?
Could Gordon Lord Byron win a Group 1 at a mile?
I'm not so sure. I think it's tricky. You get a few exceptions, the likes of Moonlight Cloud, who is able to operate over 6, 7 and a mile. But I think the number of top performers who can do it is very, very rare. They're in short supply. Gordon Lord Byron, for me, is best at 6 or 7 furlongs, and I think a mile probably just stretches his stamina a touch. And let's not forget, I think the milers are a classier bunch than the sprinters. That's generally the rule of thumb anyway, isn't it? Because you have the classic horses, the Guineas horses running over that trip. He's going to have to pitch in against the likes of Dawn Approach, Toronado. Is he good enough to beat them horses? I'd question. I'd personally keep him at 6 and 7.
Yeah, no, I agree. Plenty of the weekend races had autumn double implications. Who do you fancy?
Clearly, top-notch Tonto must have a big chance in the Cambridgeshire, based on what we saw in that Group 3 event at Haydock on Saturday. He sprung out a huge surprise, but showed his effectiveness with cutting the ground.
Yep.
He gets a £4 penalty for that now. He's going to go up a lot more than £4 in the ratings, DK. So he's going to look like a handicap blot. But soft ground is key to him. And whilst you'd expect us to get soft ground in 3 weeks' time, you wouldn't be sure of it, would you? You couldn't guarantee us having soft ground. So the 10-1 that's available with William Hill about Top Notch Tonto doesn't do a great deal for me personally, although I'd respect his claims.
Yep.
With regards to the Cesarowicz, I think you'd have to respect the likes of Tiger Cliff and Domination. Clearly, Domination is shortened in the betting this week on the back of being the price-wise tip. Himself and Big Easy were the two that Tom Segal put up in his price-wise column. Countrywide Flame is in there. He was second in the race last year. He'd have to come into the reckoning. Ted Veal, does Ted Veal stay that far? I'd question. Palisator, he was the one that ran at the weekend, wasn't he, in the Borough Cup?
Yeah.
And that looked a nice trial for the Borough Cup for Palisator. And I think a trip such as 2 miles two, if we get a bit of cut in the ground, is going to suit Palisator down to the ground. And he is the one horse to emerge from the weekend that maybe interests me with regards to the Cesarowicz.
What's your tip for the St. Ledger, Sean?
I'm quite interested to see Libertarian back on track. I'll be hoping that he can get back to the form that he showed in the Derby when running an excellent second. Let's not forget how green he ran at Epsom. He didn't really handle the track. And yet when William Buick got him balanced in the straight, he's absolutely flown home.
Yes.
And he went to the Curragh and was rightly favourite for the Irish Derby. And unfortunately, he disappointed. But he's been given plenty of time to get over that. And I think Connection stressed after his run in Ireland that he'd had quite a hard time with things. This also only made his debut in April, DK. So he'd come a long way from winning a Pontefract maiden on debut to getting to the Derby 2 months later. And it maybe just all caught up with him in Ireland. I also think the ground was probably a shade quick for him in the Curragh. I think he might like a bit of juice in the ground, so we'll keep an eye on the weather, see what it does in that respect. But I see Libertarian's currently 8-1 with us here at William Hill. That looks a fair price about a horse who has proven himself a class act and may come back an improved performer after the short absence.
And finally, have any other horses grabbed your attention of late?
I was in the studio on Friday. And covering Haydock along with several other meetings, but at Haydock, a filly of Charlie Hill's, is Coral Mist, won the filly's maiden, beat a Sir Michael Stout inmate called Maletta, who'd finished fourth in the Lowther prior to it, and she beat Maletta convincingly. Despite running green, she hung left for about the last furlong and a half, and has ended up going from the stand side to nearly on the far side of the track, and then has still run out a 5-6 length winner, Coral Mist. So I think she's a filly who could make her mark in Pat and company, and if Connections so choose to turn her out quickly, she might be one who could appear up at the Air Western meeting. I'm sure it's already crossed their minds. The Lander Burns Firth of Clyde Stakes is a filly's only race, a listed race, and she looks to me as if she might take a lot of beating in such a heat.
Thanks, Sean. Now we can get some insight on your runners on Tuesday, because you've got 6 of them in total. It must be one of the busiest days of the year for your stable.
Yeah, it's a busy enough day anyway, certainly for a Tuesday.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've good men and women at home, and they can run the show when we send them away to the two tracks, Beverly and Redcar. It's important they you know, they're the eyes and ears of the operation, and you know, they'll be particularly important tomorrow, as I say.
Yeah, the 2:30 at Redcar is the nursery handicap, Division 2 of the nursery handicap, over 7 furlongs, and you've got Strictly Glitz running here. This horse has had 3 starts today. It started off in Auction Maiden Company, then went into Maiden Company, and got off the mark in Selling Company at Redcar, over 7 furlongs, on good to firm ground, Sean, this horse.
Yes, she did, and It was a real shame, because she was the type who looked like we could turn out quickly after that and keep her racing through the summer for her owner and get plenty of action. Unfortunately, she got a knock to her leg. She just wrapped her leg, and we don't know, was it in the horse box coming back from Redcar, and she just needed a bit of TLC on the joint, and the joint was quite swollen, and we just had to work on it, really, which is why she hasn't run in such a while. But she is fit, and she's working nicely enough at home. As a result of her only winning a Seller DK, she's been given a mark in the 50s, which is what you'd expect, but you know, that looks like a mark that she'll be able to operate from.
Yeah.
Joe Doyle rode her when she won at Redcar last time out. He takes the ride again. His £7 claim will be pretty useful, and I think she must have an each way chance in this race, given that
it's a bit of a step up, isn't it?
It is a step up, because she's gone from a poor Seller. Make no mistake about it; it was a very, very weak race she won. But she's gone from that into a 0-75 nursery. That said, she won the Seller quite nicely, and look to be slowly getting the hang of things with regards to racing. Her first two runs were okay. Her third one was a definite improvement, though, yeah. And I'd like to think she could run into a place anyway.
You've got Planet X running in the 3:30 at Redcar. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs. The ground likely to be, this is something we've not talked about, the ground likely to be on the soft side at Redcar. Is that what Planet X wants?
Yes, yeah, and I think that the filly Strictly Glitz will handle it as well.
Okay,
so that's you know, that's key. Planet X has a bundle of ability, DK, but if you were a human, he'd probably be in prison because he's just a bit of a hooligan. He wants to do everything at a million miles an hour, hairs off, and he's been probably one of the most difficult horses we've had to train in recent seasons. He does a lot of his work by himself. Doesn't really go with the string. He's just a bit odd.
He's an outcast.
Yeah, exactly. He's a bit odd.
He must have disappointed you a little bit on the race course this season.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's won a race. He won a Seller at a Selling handicap at Ripon, but that's nothing to write home about. Bearing in mind, 12 months ago, this time 12 months ago, he looked quite a progressive sprint handicapper, and he just hasn't really gone on from there. So that is disappointing. That said, though, he's in his right grade now. In these 0-75 handicaps, he should be competitive. He's drawn 14, which means he's drawn near the stand side. I tend to think that's one of the favoured places to be on the straight, or is the favoured place to be on the straight course at Redcar. I'd rather be stand side than far side anyway. So that's a positive. Raul da Silva's taking the ride. He's claiming 3 off his back, so another little help for us there. Clearly, it's a competitive handicap, though. There are 17 runners, and you know, it's the sort of race that you could run 3 or 4 days in a row, and you get a different result each time. Mm. But I'm happy enough with Planet X. But I was happy with him going into his last race at Warwick, and I was a touch disappointed. Although there could be a case put forward that he's a better horse on straight tracks.
Okay.
He doesn't seem to handle tracks with a bend that well. Right from his debut at Catterick back in June of last year, he ran poorly there. The only other times he's run round a bend were at Carlisle, Pontefract and Warwick on his last 3 starts. So he's returning to a straight course. That could be key to Planet X.
Hopefully so. Planet X, your runner in the 3:30. Moving to Beverly now. 4 runners on the card at Beverly. 2 of them in the 4:35. This is a maiden auction stakes over 7 furlongs. And you have 2 here. Elbow, one of your runners, and Ayn Mayer, the other.
Yeah, Elbow probably the more fancied of the two, although Ayn Mayer's shown a nice level of ability and certainly has races in him. But Elbow brings pretty decent form to the table. He was third two starts back in quite a third three starts back rather in quite a hot race up at Newcastle. He was then second at Catrick in a maiden behind a nice horse of James Bethel's, and then last time out at Chester was probably a touch disappointing when finishing 8th of 10 in a pretty hot maiden round there, though it has to be said. The horse that finished 6th in that race, a filly of Charlie Hills, has come out and won a very competitive nursery since, and the horse that finished 9th, so a place behind him, Kenny the Captain, came out and won his maiden at Newcastle on Friday in impressive fashion. So despite being disappointing, yeah, the form of his race is actually working out well enough. As so I think a track like Beverley will suit him more than Chester as well. He probably found it all happening a little bit quick for him around Chester, and he's a horse who might get a mile and a quarter next year, so this galloping stiff 7.5 furlongs is going to suit him. He's got a nice enough draw in stall 6, and I'll be going there hopeful that he'll be in the mix at the end. He's got the likes of Eddie Maurice, who you'd have to respect. George the First is another one, but our lad has similar form to those horses, and as I say, I'd be hoping he'd be batting away at the end. Ayn Mayer, he ran well first time out over 6 furlongs at Newcastle. We then stepped him up to 7 because it looked as if he might want 7 based on his first run and when he was staying on strongly, but he didn't appear to quite see out the 7 furlongs. So whether he'll stay this even stiffer 7.5, I don't know. His pedigree suggests he will.
Are you taking a chance then?
Yeah, we're taking a chance, and of course he'll qualify for a handicap mark after this as well, so we'll learn something. If he does stay that far, brilliant. If not, we can drop him back, but we're still learning a bit about the horse. But on what he shows at home, he definitely will win races.
Elbo the better of the two, though.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. The 505 at Beverley, again another maiden here, this time over the extended mile and a furlong, and you have Razira in here. Michael O'Connell taking the ride on Razira. This is a once raced horse, finished 4th on debut at Catterick over 12 furlongs. Beaten 28 lengths on that occasion, Sean, but this horse is pretty well bred.
He is well bred, and he's a nice horse who's going to win a stack of races down the years with a little bit of luck. Catrick wasn't his track at all first time up. He got lost round the bends and found the undulations not that much to his liking. The ground was possibly a shake quick for him as well. So all in all, I think he ran okay. And I think the winner of that race is actually a very good horse. The third horse has come out, Alan Swinbank's horse, has come out and finished 2nd in quite a nice maiden subsequently. So although he was beaten a long way, I do think he shaped okay. That was over 1.5 miles. He drops back to 1.25 miles now. Whether that will suit him, I don't know. But he's ready to run again, and there weren't a load of races for him at the current time. So we thought Beverley is only, half an hour down the road for us, so he doesn't have to travel very far. And it looks an ideal opportunity to give him another run. He's still quite raw, this horse. You know, he's a backward 3-year-old, and he's still learning, still improving. And I'm sure he'll improve more later on this year and next year. He's comes from one of the Aga Khan's families. So he's by Dylan Thomas out of a Kalanese mare. There's loads of stamina in the pedigree, and there's hurdle winners, chase winners. So you're plenty of stamina, plenty of tough horses in the family. And Razira will be a nice type, but I'd be surprised if he were quite there enough yet.
Yes.
To beat the likes of My History, Response, and even Richard Fahey's newcomer, El Cordobes, who cost €300,000 as a yearling.
So do you think this horse will be seen to better effect when he goes handicapping?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, because ultimately he's going to end up handicapping, and that'll be he's going to improve. So by the time he gets to the handicapping stage, hopefully he'll have improved even from where he is now.
The 7.10 at Beverley is a handicap, a Class 6 handicap, and must be one of your favourite horses running here. Violent Velocity, 10 years old now.
Yeah, the family pet, owned by my mother. he's been ridden by all the apprentices that have ever been through the yard. He's just a real bus of a horse, a bit of a legend. He leads all the 2-year-olds. If you have a 2-year-old that can work with him, you know you've a pretty nice one. And if you've one that can go by him, you know you've a damn decent one, because he's a good, honest, rock-solid workhorse who
yes.
never fails to show his form at home, if you know what I mean. You get plenty of horses that show nothing on the gallops and are much better on a race course, but this lad is reliable and rock solid, and it was great to see him win up at Musselburgh last time out with young Joe Doyle riding him.
16-1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was too big a price. I don't know why he was that price, because he'd been second at Beverley only a week before. Another one of our young lads, Kane Wood, an amateur, he got a spin on him. So he's just been great for that. I think Joe Doyle's won on him. Mick O'Connell, when he first joined us, he won a couple on him. Ian Brennan, who's now playing his trade back in Ireland, when he first came to us, he won on him. He won a Newmarket handicap on him. And of course, the late Jamie Kine. When he was with us, yes. he won on him and rode him plenty. I think he enjoyed his first winner for the yard aboard him at Thirsk. So this is a horse who is close to all our hearts. And look, he's going to have a pretty good chance in this race. You'd have to think he's a course and distance winner. He absolutely loves Beverley for some reason. And Joe's £7 claim is going to help. Of course, he's lumbered with 9-10. That'll be 9-3 with Joe's claim. Again, it's a very competitive handicap. There are 15 runners. I'd respect the likes of Icy Blue. You've got Moral Issue, who's in good form. Silly Billy is a course and distance winner. So there are form horses coming into the race, but Arlad is in great form as well, and I'm sure he'll give his running anyway.
I'm looking forward to seeing Violent Velocity on course. It must be absolutely superb to have a horse like that in the stable that can just do everything, basically.
Yeah,
and can teach the younger horses.
That's it. And I've got a young nephew. I've got a couple of nephews, but I've got a young nephew who's just started school, and he's learning to ride on him.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's great.
When he goes into the stable, Dad puts him up on Violent Velocity. So he's a real old schoolmaster, you know.
Superb, absolutely superb. Which horse, if you had to pick one, best chance, do you think?
Best chance, I'd like to think Elbow. I was pleased with the way he worked on Saturday morning. And he might be a fairish price, so Elbow maybe in the first at Beverley.
Superb. Thank you, Sean. Best of luck with your runners, six of them in total, over the cards at Redcar and Beverley on Tuesday, and thanks for your contribution to the racing podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it, folks. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with live racing action on Tuesday afternoon. Thanks again to Sean for contributing to Tuesday's racing podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.